You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Death of an Indigenous woman who was shot by police in Western Australia. New report reveals cultural and structural issues hampering the ability of Indigenous people to engage with superannuation funds. And Prime Minister Scott Morrison is resisting calls to scrap Centrelink's controversial robot debt welfare recovery scheme. A report an Indigenous woman was shot by police in Western Australia last night. NITV is reporting the 29-year-old Yamaji woman died after officers went to her Geraldton home. Western Australia police say an officer discharged his firearm and a woman suffered a gunshot wound. Major crime officers will investigate the death while police internal affairs will conduct a separate inquiry. A new report reveals that meeting basic identification requirements of superannuation funds, such as having a driver's license or passport, remains a key obstacle for Indigenous members needing to access information about their fund and or process claims. The report presented to the government yesterday stems from the 2019 Indigenous Superannuation Summit. The new report follows the Royal Commission into misconduct in the banking, superannuation and financial services industry, which also highlighted how cultural and structural issues were hampering the ability of Indigenous people to engage with superannuation funds. The Royal Commission also heard that Indigenous Australians have 23% less in retirement savings than non-Indigenous Australians, and that many members in remote communities were unaware of their superannuation entitlements. Disability advocates are calling for urgent reforms to the disability support pension, with many struggling to make ends meet. The call follows the release of new research which suggests about 200,000 Australians with a disability are living on New Start payments because of tighter eligibility rules for disabled support. This was a result of an eligibility criteria change in 2006, whereby a person with a disability deemed capable of working 15 hours per week no longer qualified for the pension. Advocates say the cost of living for those with a disability is at least $100 more a week than those without one. And the situation is even worse for First Nations people. The report found that 2 out of every 5 First Nations households relying on the disability support pension had run out of money for basic expenses in the last year. June Raymer of the First Peoples Disability Network paints an even bleaker picture for First Nations people living in rural and remote areas.
It's actually dire straits, particularly in rural and remote regions where, you know, there isn't any possibility to, you know, supplement the incomes, you know, particularly now with the droughts happening across Australia. People are unable to access any even, you know, casual roles, you know, to support that income. And culturally within our communities, everyone supports each other. So when you find a household that, you know, may have someone with some form of support, they're supporting that whole household.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison is resisting calls to scrap Centrelink's controversial robot debt welfare recovery scheme. Lawyers are preparing to argue the automated debt system is unlawful. Recipients of the debt letters are assumed guilty and must prove their innocence. While more than 160,000 of the debt notices are estimated to be erroneous, Mr. Morrison told the Seven Network complaints have been overstated.
Where the system needs to be improved, then we'll always continue to do that. But it's important that the government ensures that, you know, when people are overpaid, that the taxpayers' money that has been overpaid to them is recovered.
RoboDebt is a part automated process in which recipients of welfare are sent letters telling them they've been overpaid. And overseas, Iran has ruled out talks with the United States after President Donald Trump blamed Iran for an attack on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities. Local media is reporting Iranian officials plan to talk to American officials because of perceived pressure from the U.S. Saudi Arabia says its oil supply is fully back online after the weekend attacks, and it expects to keep its role as a producer for global markets. The U.S. is reportedly suggesting it has identified the origin of the drones with Iran, while Yemen's Houthi rebels have claimed responsibility for the attack. Meanwhile, the U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper has met Bahrain's Crown Prince at the Pentagon and says the meeting has come at an ideal time.
As we've seen from recent events, Iran continues to violate international norms and instead has chosen to promote instability and danger throughout the region. We greatly appreciate you working together with us and other friends of the rule of law and security to deter further provocative acts by Iran.
The political career of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu hangs in the balance pending the result of the second national election this year. Voting has closed as Israelis decide if the leader deserves a second term in office in spite of a likely indictment on corruption charges. In what is expected to be a tight race, exit polls suggest Mr. Netanyahu is falling short of a majority. And results from the Tunisia election show jailed media mogul Nabil Karoui and law professor Kais Saied are the two top candidates after the first round of voting. Saied has more than 18% of the vote, while Karoui has secured about 15%, but both successful presidential candidates have never held office before. Salwa Smaou, who is the wife of Nabil Karoui, read out a letter from her husband who had written to the people of Tunisia to thank them.
The great people of Tunisia, today you have expressed your will and we have listened to you. Today through your vote you have expressed your will and the diversity that exists in society. You have expressed your priority, your desire to change your situation and the need for hope.
And back home, legislation targeting energy companies will be introduced to the lower house on this Wednesday. The so-called Big Stick legislation threatens to break up big power companies if they are found to be increasing prices. It's not yet clear how the revived legislation will differ from draft laws introduced by the coalition last year. Energy Minister Angus Taylor says the legislation bill will ensure energy companies play by the rules. And having a look at the weather across the country, Perth, showers increasing, 22, Adelaide, sunny, 24, Melbourne, sunny as well, 19, Hobart, mostly sunny, 17, Albury-Wodonga, sunny, 12, Canberra, partly cloudy, 17, Wollongong, a few showers, 17, Sydney, showers, 17, Newcastle, much the same, in a top of 19, Brisbane, sunny day, 28, Townsville, a mostly sunny day, 24, Cairns, similar conditions, but a top of 30, Alice Springs, sunny, 21, Darwin, sunny as well, 34, and the Torres Strait Islands, a cloudy day and a top of 27. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.